First, with Paul Ryan of Wisconsin set to retire from Congress, there will be a new Speaker of the House next year, one way or another. Who that is going to be, though, remains to be seen. Republicans are hoping to hold on to the speakership by maintaining control of the House in the midterm elections, but if they lose 23 seats or more, Democrats will be in the driver's seat. That would set up a potential struggle between former Speaker Nancy Pelosi and a younger group of Democrats who are saying they want new leadership from a younger generation. Scott Wong is a senior staff writer at The Hill, where he's been covering Paul Ryan and House Republicans. He's here to help us sort things out. Scott, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get into either party, it always seems to me that House Speaker, in a lot of ways, is just the worst job. And people come out of that bruised and battered. And I remember John Boehner, the incredible look of relief on his face when he left. This is a tough job, right?
That's right. If you remember, John Boehner, on his last day of office as Speaker of the House, was singing Zippity-Doo-Dah on his way out of his final press conference. And I imagine Paul Ryan's going to have a similar feeling as he leaves office in January, handing the reins to somebody we don't quite know who that will be yet. There's just so many questions that are up in the air.
Let's start digging into this. Let's start with Democrats who are projected to pick up seats. They could win control of the House. They could win by a lot. They could win by a nose. What are you hearing from Democrats? Is it a shoo-in for Nancy Pelosi again or not?
I think it's really going to depend on the size of the pickup for Democrats. Let's say that they do take back the House, and it's a blue wave, meaning there will be 30 to 40 seats, possibly more, of a pickup. In that case, I think Nancy Pelosi can make a very strong case to her caucus that she should return as Speaker of the House. The last thing I think Democrats want to do after taking back control of the House is to have a big public battle in front of the TV cameras and in front of the political media, showing that the party is divided. Instead, I think what they want to do is to show that they're united against President Trump and the Republican agenda, and I think that's the case that Nancy Pelosi would make if they win by a large margin. If it's a small margin, only perhaps a 5-seat advantage, I think there's going to be a real push to have a changing of the guards, not only Nancy Pelosi perhaps, but also her number two and number three Democratic lieutenants, Steny Hoyer from Maryland and Jim Clyburn from South Carolina. And so, there's so many things that are unknown at this point, including who's going to control the majority. There's just an unlimited range of scenarios at this point.
Now, we know that Republicans have targeted Nancy Pelosi, including in this midterm election. Many candidates are running against her. What are the pros and cons from the perspective of the Democratic caucus, though? What do people like? Why do some people want to see a change of leadership?
Well, I think in the pro-Pelosi camp, what we're hearing is that these are, very unusual times. Donald Trump is a unusual president, an unconventional president, and that it's going to take somebody with political experience and know-how to go up against somebody like Donald Trump. And so I think in the pro-Pelosi camp, people are saying Nancy Pelosi has been in Democratic politics for decades. She's seen these types of scenarios before, and she is best equipped to lead the party, in these next few years while Donald Trump is president. In the sort of anti-Pelosi camp, the anti-establishment camp, you're seeing some of the younger generation. They're more diverse. They are pushing the party further to the left with things like talking about impeachment of Donald Trump and universal health care. And so they feel like that Nancy Pelosi and some of the leadership has led the party astray. They want to get back to sort of their more core liberal values and believe that a sort of wholesale changing of the guard is needed to do so.
Who are some of the people that are viewed as, possible successors to Nancy Pelosi?
Well, I did mention Jim Clyburn, the number three Democrat. He's been in Congress for decades. He's from South Carolina. He is African American. He is somebody who's can be seen as sort of a bridge. Maybe if the Democratic Party is not quite ready to make a major switch and go with somebody from the new generation, Clyburn is seen as somebody who can sort of bridge the divide. And I think that's sort of how he is positioning himself. I think Steny Hoyer, who has been wanting to lead the Democratic Party for quite some time, it's not quite clear that he would be the obvious successor to Pelosi just because he's up there in age. And the Democratic Party is becoming younger, more diverse, and quite frankly, more female. And so I'm not sure Steny Hoyer would be the right face for the Democratic Party. But there's a number of people, some who are people like Barbara Lee. She's from Oakland, a former Congressional Black Caucus member. Others like Linda Sanchez. She formerly led the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. So there are a number of people just sort of positioning themselves, not quite sure what they're going to be running for, but positioning themselves in case there is sort of this changing of the guard.
And before we leave the Democrats and look at the Republican side of things, if Democrats lose, if they fail to take the House, obviously they're not picking a House Speaker, but does that suggest that a big change of leadership might be in the works?
Yeah, I think there's no question that if Democrats fail, for a third consecutive cycle to take back control of the House, Nancy Pelosi would be gone, and probably the rest of her leadership team as well. So that's sort of a no-brainer. And then that would usher in a new generation of leaders.
Talking to Scott Wong from The Hill, looking at who might replace Paul Ryan as Speaker of the House after November's elections. Now let's turn to the Republican side of things, Scott. If they manage to hang on to their majority, House Speaker Paul Ryan, who you've been covering for quite a while now, isn't coming back. So they've got to pick somebody new. Who is, I guess, is there an establishment choice to replace Paul Ryan, first of all?
Well, I think we have to say that the establishment pick or the front runner at this point is Kevin McCarthy. He is the number two Republican in leadership, the majority leader, a close ally of Paul Ryan. In fact, Paul Ryan has already endorsed him and said that he prefers Kevin McCarthy to succeed him as Speaker of the House should Republicans maintain the majority. He's also somebody who's close to Donald Trump and has aligned himself with Donald Trump very early on in the presidential campaign. But again, there, each of these candidates has sort of their pros and cons. And for McCarthy, who actually ran to succeed John Boehner back in 2015, he actually failed and dropped out of that speaker's race after it became apparent that he just could not amass the 218 votes needed to be elected speaker on the House floor. That paved the way for Paul Ryan. And so we've seen McCarthy stumble in the past, and many people think that McCarthy could stumble again.
And if he does, who else is out there maybe jockeying for position right now?
Yeah, definitely the number three Republican, Steve Scalise, the majority whip, who, of course, was nearly fatally shot last year during a congressional baseball practice. He's seen as somebody who is positioning himself to step in should McCarthy stumble and fail to reach the speakership. And so he's out there campaigning for candidates, raising money, trying to not only keep the majority but also form alliances with some of his fellow lawmakers who will be responsible for electing the next Speaker of the House. And that sort of created this rivalry between the number two and number three Republicans, Kevin McCarthy and Steve Scalise.
Are there insurgent candidates? We've seen in the past speakers brought down or prevented from taking the seat in the first place by kind of the even more conservative wing of the party. They can tear down a speaker. They haven't managed to put their own in their place, though, right?
That's right. I think you're referring to the House Freedom Caucus, the group of sort of rabble-rousing conservatives led by Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan. Jordan from Ohio has already announced a bid for the speakership. This is something that he's been flirting with for quite some time, and he finally did pull the trigger and jump into the speaker's race. So Kevin McCarthy will be squaring off with at least one other candidate in Jim Jordan. Of course, Jim Jordan has been dogged by allegations that he turned a blind eye towards some sexual abuse of college athletes by a teen doctor back when Jordan was serving as a wrestling coach at Ohio State University. So, like I mentioned before, everyone sort of has their pros and cons, political baggage. If you've served in this arena for a number of years, you, of course, get dragged down by political baggage, and Jim Jordan is no exception.
Is it a case where if Republicans do keep the majority, if President Trump puts his finger on the scale and says publicly or behind the scenes, yeah, I like this candidate, could he have a lot of sway?
I think so. I think President Trump could be the decider in a race for Speaker of the House. As I mentioned, he's extremely close to Kevin McCarthy, but he's also close to a number of these other candidates. You know, in a State of the Union address, he called Steve Scalise the legend from Louisiana. He's also very close to Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan of the House Freedom Caucus. So I really think that if it came down to a matter of votes, a handful of votes, to decide the speakership, President Trump could weigh in either with a tweet or with some personal phone calls to members of Congress and could actually sway this election. We probably won't know the answer to that, until after the election, when these sort of internal races will be held.
We'll leave it there for now. Scott, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Scott Wong is a senior staff writer at The Hill, where he covers House Republicans. He was with us to look at the race to be the next Speaker of the House in 2019.